Welcome, my friend. Welcome back to another edition of Love Someone with Delilah. I'm having so much fun this year doing these podcasts because I love to talk and I love to listen. And when I'm on the radio, I only get to talk to somebody for 2 or 3 minutes because, you know, when I'm on the radio, I'm supposed to be playing a lot of music, relaxing favorites, longer song sets, that sort of thing, so you can relax and unwind at night. And I love playing the music, but I really love having conversations with people that thrill me, people that inspire me, people that make me want to be a better version of myself. I love people that are real, that are honest, that are using their gifts and talents and skills to make the world a better place. And the woman that I'm about to talk to, that we are going to have a conversation with here on Love Someone with Delilah, does all those things. She's as real as a heart attack. She could be like my secret sister separated at birth. We look enough alike to be sisters. And she is bold. She's abroad. She's funny. She loves food as much as I do. In fact, you probably know her from her food show. Trisha Yearwood's Southern home cooking wonderfulness that I got to be on with her. And she is our guest today on our podcast. I met her when she was performing. She has a new album out called Let's Be Frank, and it's all Frank Sinatra tunes that she has covered that are beautiful, but she is just a hot ticket. She is sassy. She is funny. She is kind. She is beautiful, and we are going to get to know her a little bit more today on Love Someone with Delilah. First, though, I want to talk about our sponsor, because without our sponsors, we wouldn't have a podcast. So we're going to talk about our sponsor here for a second, and then we are going to talk with Trisha Yearwood. This year, we have been working very hard on our podcast series. I love being on the radio with you. I have loved being on the radio with you for years, but I have a lot to say, and I want to get to know people on a deeper, more intimate level. I want to get to know people in a very real way. However much time I have left on this planet, I want to use it for good. I've always wanted to do that, but since losing my son, Zach, so much more so now, I want to use my gifts and my talents and my skills for good, to encourage you to be the best you that you can possibly be, to encourage you to live deeply, to love completely. And that has been my motivation this year with my podcast series, Love Someone with Delilah. And today we're going to get to know a beautiful woman a little bit better, a little bit deeper. We're going to talk with and listen to the versatile, the talented Trisha Yearwood right here.
I have to tell you that when anyone hears your voice, you have to know that you have one of the most famous voices in the world. And everybody, it's like you just take a deep breath and go, oh, it's Delilah. I can just listen to you talk forever. And your stories you tell and the way you make everybody feel, there are not many people that can do that. So, I mean, I'm just honored to be here sitting with you, seriously.
Thank you. And I am so honored because I have played your music and followed your career since you were really young.
Yeah, 91 was my first year. I was 26 years old. I hear those first records, and I like them, but I just feel like I sound like a child when I go back and listen. I'm like, oh, you were such a little girl.
Yeah, I was a child when I started in radio. I was 14. And I remember the first time I had to say Martina Navratilova. I was reading the copy. Stumbling all over the place, but I have loved watching your career and all the different things that you have touched that are just so wonderful and so real.
Thank you. I have fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do, and I'm at an age in my, I'm 54 years old. I'm at a place where I'm like, I don't really want to do anything that I don't enjoy. Yeah, and I feel very lucky. I never wanted to do stuff I didn't want to do, but I had to, you know. Yeah. So it's nice to be in a place where you get to pick the things that bring you joy. And
so what were some of the things that you did that you really didn't want to do, but you did and you did well, but now you're so glad you don't have to do anymore?
Well, mostly it was just real jobs, you know. I just didn't want to work for a living.
What's some of the real jobs you've... I've only had two real jobs. So what's some of the real jobs you've had?
I worked for an agri sales company selling like feeding troughs for Yeah. I mean, I grew up on a farm, so I mean, I knew what I was talking about, but still. I mean, that was mainly like bulk mailing and filing. I wasn't a salesperson.
You didn't actually get to go to the farm.
No, I would have loved that. That would have been fun. I was a tour guide at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. So if you came through, I could lead you through. And I liked that job because I would spend most of my time in the had movies. They had an Elvis movie and a Patsy Cline movie for like 2 or 3 minutes. And I was not a great tour guide.
Because you were watching the Patsy Cline. You were singing along. Yeah. When there's only 3 or 4 people guests in the tour, you were singing better than Patsy.
No. I was a receptionist at a record label. So that was kind of torturous because no one knew I sang. I wanted to keep my job. And I watched people coming in every day doing what I wanted to do. And I was really a shy person and not bold about myself. So I think that was a great job for me because it was what lit the fire under me to say, if you don't let people know this is what you want to do, then you're going to get to answer the phones and order liquid paper for the rest of your life. You know, so it was the job that changed everything for me, honestly.
Talking today with Tricia Yearwood and her life and her love and her hubby Garth Brooks and her music and her TV show. And we are going to continue this conversation with Tricia Yearwood in just a moment. But first, though, I want to talk to you about our sponsors that make this podcast a possibility. You want to smile? Put yourself smack dab in the center of the garden department at the Home Depot. This time of year, there are so many beautiful flowers to take home and plant in your flower beds and your gardens. You can always find room for a flat full of fresh flowers. Every flower bed does better when you use the right products from EarthGrow, Vigoro, and Sconce. The very helpful people working in the garden department will guide you on what's best. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. I've been talking today with Tricia Yearwood. Oh my gosh, I fell in love with this lady. She's just a hot ticket. She's fun and she's funny, beautiful, talented, so talented, and not afraid to be true to herself. We got to talk about last night because I told my sister and my group that last night was such a huge blessing to my heart that I would not have been surprised if an angel appeared on stage after you, because from beginning to end, the whole night was like this blessed gift to my heart.
Thank you for saying that. You know, I was so, this has been such a buildup for me because I wanted to do this record for 20 years. I've wanted to sing these songs forever.
Let me just interject your new record, Let's Be Frank. Frank Sinatra, some of his big hits, some of his lesser known songs he recorded, but so beautiful.
Everything just was right. You know, it's really funny. I have rituals before I go on stage. I do a little powwow with my band, and I did one with the three guys that played the Tricia songs at the front of the show, the bass player and the guitar player and piano player. We always do like a little powwow and a little like break on three or whatever. And then we go out, and that's what I do. I don't really have, I mean, I don't do vocal warm-ups. I don't have like, you know, I don't do anything special. But last night after the powwow and they went out, I just needed to take a breath. And I actually said a prayer, which I pray, but I don't pray before I go on stage. I feel like God's got other things to worry about whether or not I hit the notes.
You are a force to be reckoned with, not in a bad way, not in a pushy way, but when you set your mind to do something, you do it. I love that.
I don't know if it's, you know, I guess I'm stubborn, I'm competitive, and I'm not confident in everything in my life, but the things that I'm confident in, the things that I know I can do, I believe. And I was raised by parents who were very nurturing in that way and made us believe, my sister and I both, that we could do anything we wanted. They just, and it wasn't about, we want you to do this. It was about, we want you to be happy and we want you to be in charge of your life. And that was a great message, a great gift they gave us.
Well, you've certainly done it well. And you said on stage last night that this album you've wanted to do for 20 years. These are the songs that you've wanted to do for 20 years. And I loved you telling the story of how you chose the ones that are on the album. And I wanted to share that with our listeners because that was a huge process. I mean, you have hundreds of songs to choose from. And you said you had 86 more that you wanted to record, which tells me there's going to be, you know, we got enough material here for a couple of more of these. But tell the story of how you chose the ones that are on the album. And then we're going to talk about the one that you wrote with your husband. And I'm going to talk about what that means to me. So go ahead.
Well, I did have a list of literally, I think it was 99 songs. And it's still on my laptop because it's still there. I still want to record the rest of them. And I really was having a tough time. And Don was, who produced the record. He kept saying, well, which ones do you think we're going to do? And I kept going, well, I don't know. I'll get you a list. And then I just, and he finally said, look, we have to, you know, we have to figure this out.
We have 60 piece orchestras.
Right. And you have to, you have to decide, Tricia, because this is your album. It's not mine. You're not going to sing my favorite Frank songs, you know? So, we were having a meeting and he sat me down with a pen and paper and said, right now off the top of your head, what 12 would you cut? And I wrote down 12 songs and 11 of them made the record. And so I guess it was good because I just wasn't allowed to think about it. Now I can go back right now and give you another list of 12 that I would do tomorrow, you know? So I think that I do hope I get to do more of this because I've had a lot of fun in my career. I've had a lot of fun in the studio. That's my happy place, is in the studio creating, making a song mine. But I don't know if I've ever had more fun than this. It was just incredible.
Not to harp on how special last night was, but we were in the Rainbow Room, which I could almost feel the presence of Frank and his gang, you know, the Rat Pack. That's where they debuted so many of their songs, and that was their happy place, you know. And I've seen so many fabulous pictures of them in the Rainbow Room. And then you walked out on stage, the orchestra came out, and then you walked out in that beautiful gown looking like a vision. And every song, I thought, how is she going to top that? How are you going to top that one? You just nailed it. How is she going to top that one? And each one was just so lush and brought back for me, because those are the songs my mom used to listen to. She had a little record player. And those were the songs my grandparents used to play. And each one brought back so many memories. And they were just all just touching my heart.
It was the same for me. My mother loved this music, you know. So for me, I think I mentioned last night, she was born in 37. So we watched a lot of old movies and musicals and played these songs. My mom and dad were madly in love. They were married for 45 years. And they would, you know, music would come on the radio. There was a kitchen radio, and that was always playing. And something would come up that reminded them. They met at a square dance. So they were dancers. And they weren't square dancing at this point, but they would dance in the kitchen together. You know, and I'm a kid watching my parents, and you're kind of like, oh. And then you're like, oh, it's so sweet. And they were always that way together. So it brings back so many memories for me as well. And I got to tell you a funny story about the dress. I was very stressed out about, you know, am I going to remember all these lyrics? I'm in the Rainbow Room. I've been waiting, and now I'm freaked out. And I don't really freak out. I'm pretty zen, but I was nervous last night. And I had tried on the dress, this silver dress that looked like a throwback old Hollywood dress.
It looks so like I could have pictured Frank Sinatra with a lady on his arm wearing that dress.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And then I was like, well, I don't know, maybe I should wear, and I had a pantsuit option, and I have this, it was beautiful, and I had it on, and I'm like, it's the Rainbow Room. And I'm thinking about what a woman would wear to the Rainbow Room in 1955 or 60, and I'm like, it's the dress. It's got to be the dress. And the dress made you feel like a diva. You're like, okay, I'm going to go out there. And, you know, when you're wearing the outfit, you know how it is if you are dressing to go to church on Sunday, you carry yourself straighter. And if you wear heels, you walk differently. The dress, you know, inhabiting the dress helped me inhabit the songs better. I think I really do think it did.
Oh, well, it worked. You nailed it.
I have a question for you. I met you and your husband, Paul, last night. I met him last night. And you said he was your, for the last time?
Yes, he is. So when you sang that song, I was bawling. First, you told the story of how you wrote it. And when you said the line you came home with and said to Garth,
"For the first time, I'm in love for the last time."
I was like, that's how I felt about my Paul. Because my girlfriends made me a t-shirt years ago that says, "No, it's for real this time." It is for real this time. 2 weeks later, thought I was for real. And, you know, I got the collection of divorce. People call me and say, "How dare you give people love advice when you have been divorced more than once?" I'm like, really?
I think that is also, you learn what you want and you learn what you don't want and what's good for you and what's not good for you. And sometimes you have to go through a couple of husbands to get there.
Sometimes.
But this time I'm in love for the first time for the last time.
Yeah.
Trisha Yearwood, thank you for being our featured guest, for spending all this time with us. And blessings to you and your new music project, Let's Be Frank. And I look forward to getting to know you better and spending more time with you in the future. God bless you.